Blog Talk Radio.
Don't feel the reaper, nor do the
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We're part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our wild Lulu in Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction on Wednesday. Thursday is a split between Inner Craft, the Soul and Art, with Rich the Neutron, and Double Helix with Aphasian and Dex. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. And Saturday is a split between Gray Eyes Howling at the Moon in the Canadian Wilds, bringing you Bad Company, and Captain B2 and Daniel bringing you Ekphrasis. And if you're looking for a little more edgy around, then please check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Monday through Saturday mornings. Mondays are split between The Hearts of LMP with Victoria and Black Lace Diaries with Mr. M and Mr. Sauce. Tuesday, Come Take a Walk on the Wild Side. Friday's a split between Crawling Into the Darkness with Pam and Break On Through. And Saturday, join Aphasiana and Babylon as they teach you the fine art of being part sinner, part saint. Check out the contests and prompts for all of our shows. Call in to read your poems and hang for the fun. Good evening, Jean. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing well, Rexon. How are you?
I'm just fine.
All right. All right. That looks like a nice lineup on your board tonight.
Yes.
It really does. That's a quiet night, too. Hey, we have a caller. How about it?
Oh, that was quick.
Okay, I'm not sure who this is, but it's a 646 area code. Hello, 646. Who's calling, please?
Well, this is Mark Loopy. Hi there.
Hey, Mark.
Mark, how you doing?
Hey, guys. It's been a while, I know. A few months, actually. Glad to be
sure
here.
Has. Good to have you. Good to have you. So, it's just Alan Rex. We have a good-looking board for tonight. It's always nice. Always nice. But good to have you join us. So I don't know, Rex. It was raining here today. It's raining there?
Yeah, here too.
Not surprised. Really? Oh, gosh.
That was a long time. Yeah, first it started hailing. Then we got rain.
It's so fickle. This weather is so fickle. Oh, my God. Yep, that's how we know Mother Nature is a female. Honest to God. Tickle as all get out. Oh, did I just say that out loud? I most certainly did. And I said it to a lot.
Just
I
slightly.
I was popular this week. Yeah. Honesty. that's the motto. But, so I don't know. So do you want to tell us your take on this week's inspiration there, Rex?
Oh, let's
I
see.
Know,
it's such an interesting song, just for the music itself, plus the lyrics. I mean, back in must have been I guess late '75, early '76. Buck Dahmer was given some news that really kind of hit him like a big shockwave. He had arrhythmia with his heart, and it kind of put him into a space where he started thinking about his mortality at a young age, because, look at 35, well, actually 46 years ago now, he would have been, 24 or so? That's a big thing to take on, and got a little bit depressed, so he wrote this song as a thought to it's a love song to his wife. So if things didn't work out at the time, that she would always know that he'd be waiting for her on the other side, should there be another side, whatever else there was beyond this life. So it was a note to her not to worry about things like that thought, like Romeo and Juliet, we'll be together in eternity. He's offering up that note. Don't worry about things. I'll be waiting for you on the other side when your time has come. It turned out it wasn't that big a deal. His doctor managed to find some medication that stabilized his heart. And as you know, he's been playing ever since. So it turned out to be not so much. It was a great wake-up call for him, so to speak, but also it produced one of the greatest tunes of the mid-70s that still gets plenty of airplay today.
Yeah, it was a great song, it really is. I did not know all the backstory to that, but it's always interesting on Sundays when you tell everybody the backstory.
Just listen to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was one of the founding members. They started out in 1967 out of Stony Brook University in Long Island.
Yeah, that's something. I was 5. Just sharing that with you. No, I'm such a brat. Now, what were you saying, Mark?
It's been a long time. I hadn't heard that backstory at all. I just listen to the song every now and then, but actually not for a long time now. So I'm glad to see it in the prompts. But the ending's beautiful. It ties into what Rex said with the exit of the man and woman and the death of him. It's really a beautiful poem, independent, not just a beautiful song. It's going to
Absolutely. It's always good to hear Rex's backstories on these songs, because otherwise I wouldn't have a clue. Honest.
I'm chock full of useless information.
Oh, well, me too, just not about music, you know. Oh, my God. Yeah, so... Anyway, that's pretty cool, though. I mean, I'm glad things worked out well for him. That's what I can say. You know, having there's harsh or at least where it doesn't get better or, you know, stay okay. But, and it is a great song. It is a great song. Yes. So let me see. I guess I should start getting to work, huh? Getting to. And keep me out of trouble. Are you here for the duration, Mark?
No, I'm just going to stay for maybe the first hour or something. Something I'm going to have to go to work. Something like that.
And Rex, I'm going to put the first one up for you. And here we go. This is by Eric Swenson.
Okay.
Thank you.
Still Crazy After All These Years by Eric Swenson. Lucky Charms Arm Tinkle, collected over many periwinkle years. Rainbow-colored vermicelli sprinkles, more float on diamond jubilee cake. Ticker tape memories confetti. Spaghetti bolognese still gets his mojo going. Each time she nibbles a nipple of Venus, he's smitten. From the old country, steamer ship to the Lady of Liberty, that was the great-grandparents, boy and girl, grew up in Little Italy, imbued with tales of the old country, shaken but not stirred, fired up to Vesuvius, blow their tops when needed. Vitriol between Vancouver and Montreal, student hippie, road tripping. Favorite song played on thick cassette tape. Turn, turn, turn. Delicate puffs on weed. Two seekers sought, fought and found the answer. Italian bravado always underwrote heart matters. Still does, like fiery diamond jubilee firecrackers. Sang from the old country, wiped away her tears. When, with Pavarotti bravado, he declared, Sophia, my dove, if I never see you in this life again, I meet you in the next one. Her smile outshone the famous Loren. One, carbon compressed by multifaceted life, the two old-timers sparkled on their diamond jubilee. Luca, tonight, When all they've all gone home, I want to eat Nibble Venus in our old VW. Turn, turn, turn. A tutto gira, gira, gira. Se una svolta, stagliola, svolta, svolta. E un tempo per ogni scopo sotto il cielo. And boom. I wasn't expecting that.
Nice,
Eric. Thank you very much. Mark, why don't we start with you, please?
It's pretty multi-stacked poem. It ties well into the prompt. It's two people shaping their experience, and then just this elaborate, beautiful intricacy of their life expressed. The first stanza expressed as cake, this kind of jewel cake that ties into the picture prompt. It's beautifully done, and then leading to their experience and just tracing a life, interwoven experience, the intensities two seekers sought, fought, and found the answer. One of the 40,000 people in the original prompt lyrics, just going through life, just finding and shaping experience that kind of ends up with deeply worked jewel. And I really love it. I thought it was beautiful.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Mark. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I don't know. It's a great piece, really. There's a lot of wonderful images, and it's so Eric, because he's got a lot going on in there. I was looking like Lucky Charms, arms tinkle, collected over many periwinkle years. What an interesting stare, periwinkle years. Rainbow-colored vermicelli sprinkles, moat float on diamond jubilee cake. Ticker tape memories, confetti. Spaghetti bolognese still gets his mojo going. Each time she nibbles, the nipple of Venus. He's smitten. What an intriguing way to begin a poem, It's by the time you get your periwinkle years and vermicelli sprinkles and diamond jubilee cakes and ticker tape memories, it's just so full of imagery and thoughts. And I think that's pretty incredible. But I think he really, when he got down here, I have to find the actual. Where the heck is it? I'm looking for the one that, because there's one that directly, aims you at the prompts. And it's here somewhere.
It is.
I know it is.
That two seekers sought.
Yes. Okay. That's kind of where I'm looking for it, but it's kind of buried in here. But, the one stanza pulls in the prompts, and the rest of it kind of tells you what it's all about, And then the ending stanza, the three lines there, I had to go and see what they were. And translation for that was, at everything turns, there is a seasonal turning point that to be carried out, time for every purpose under the sky. So it was a great way to wrap this up at the end. So I think that it was just well done. And thank you, Eric, for that. Great job. I'm shutting up, Eric.
That fits with the thought with this turn, because that's actually part of the song itself. Every season.
Right.
So that also works well into the one stanza as well. The two seekers fought and found the answer. Italian bravado. Still does. Like fiery diamond jubilee firecrackers. Same for Neil. Pavarotti bravado. Dear my dove, if I never see you in this life again. And that was the driving impetus. She did right in the middle and underwrote everything around it with such a a woven tapestry of thought and ideas that painted the scenery itself, and just painted here and there of this and that, and I added in a little bit of the vitriol. Her smile, like Sean, the famous Loren one, again, that notice of what was between them, and that still is after all these years. So, damn, Eric, that was quite the lay of peace, and thank you very much. Mark and Jean, great comments.
Okay. Well, Rex, before I go get that other piece, I want to let you know you're fading in and out. And
okay.
I just want to let you know, because I'm not sure what's happening with that, but, you know, I just give you something else to think about. Sorry. You know, more about harassing folks. Let me see. Let me know. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to play Naomi's Town Club. I was looking for one to read, but...
Okey-dokey.
So here we go.
The edge. The edge of the cliff is but a footstep away. The spitting waves crash, rock, screaming my name. The cutting wind, salty and grim, slides on my face. Dead man's fingers climb my neck. I take that step forward, staring downward into hell. Rock sharpened, pointed edges. Or a line of jagged razor knives. My haunted inner self whispers, choose. Upon the moonlight, I hear the rain drumming. There is no artistry. Being killed by the tip. It should be done by the edge of the blade. And I sway sideways, drifting horizontally away from the edge, letting myself fall to the pounding of my shuddering heartbeat.
Great read, Naomi. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Gene, why don't we start with you, please?
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought this was very haunting, right? Well written, and it has an awesome audio to it. I think that she did a wonderful job, you know, in each one of these stanzas. You know, the cutting wind, salty and grim, slides on my face. Dead man's fingers clawing my neck. What imagery is that? You know, like, I'm so not used to Naomi going down the dark path. Usually she has something a little upbeat or, you know, kind of loving. And when she goes dark, she does a great job with it. But, yeah, definitely well written. And then we get into the last stanza, and I sway sideways, drifting horizontally away from the edge, letting myself fall to the pounding of my shuddering heartbeat. What a great ending to that, because it kind of leaves you with that sensation, you know, of falling and what have you. So I think that kind of leaves that in your mind when you finish reading. So definitely a great job. Way to go, Naomi.
Excellent. Thank you, Gene. And Mark, how about you?
Yeah, wonderful writing here. It's kind of, I think you discovered some of the language, and it's just beautifully done. It paints this kind of, it's a mystical landscape, but it's a highly personal landscape of despair. It reminds me, it's so well written and so well describing all the detail. I felt like really in the presence of what was going on. This landscape of despair, this journey, it's a deeper in a sense. There's no lever in the prompt. The lever that wraps the dead man's fingers, some relationship, just kind of sinks, digging in and putting the cord in this particular place. It reminded me a little of being in the middle of a poster with a pose hokiness. This is deeply personal, deeply described, and just beautifully written. And like Jean, I love this conclusion, pulling back from the edge, but shifting horizontally and finally collapsing, but still after confronting the situation. I love looking into the ways and all of that. That's a great poem.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Mark. And there is a note of despair in this, almost a suicidal note, but it doesn't really walk that way because of the language she's used, a line of jagged rays and knives, my haunted inner self whispers, choose, choose, choose. That choose, choose, choose is kind of an offering. Do I leave things as they are, or do I shred that which is so I can become what I am supposed to be? Kind of a note to that last stanza hits on the thought of accepting that which she is becoming or going to become, or is... will she just hide within the self? So the idea of actually coming out of that which might be her depressed state to a new sort of enlightenment, and therefore she needs to make that offer. And that thought with the that great umbrella offers up that kind of separation of self in the moment and the need to dispense or indulge totally. It was a great piece, kind of haunting. Nicely done, Naomi. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're coming back to you.
Okay. Mark, I'm going to put this next one up for you to read for us. So whenever you are ready.
Yeah, there's a SoundCloud, but I guess I could read it. That'd be fun.
This one, not everything. This is by Roshi.
Oh, I thought for me to read. I thought you said putting my piece up in this one. All right. No, what is there to fear about? Okay, great. Yeah, I read this early. Roshi, what's there to fear? The pattern is concealed. You only see the fabric. Wood's greatest lie so masterfully crafted. What can't we explain about life? That's right, it's magic. Such an impossible feat. Yet miracles happen. Everything is sound. All that's matter collapses. Nothing is real, it's what you imagine. There is no facade. If consciousness is absent, in order to bend the spoon, you've got to think like a magnet. We may not be perfect, it's all in our habits. Perfection exists for those with the passion. Wish to be enlightened, know how light travels. Understand it's a wave from darkness. There is no detachment. A triangle, a sphere, what you know as an atom. We are all that, which was split into fractions. Masculine energy, positive fraction, that creates the distortion, that warrants a reaction. The universe is feminine, dualism is the attraction. As above, so below. We are what we've gotten.
Great read, Mark. Thank you very much. And Jean, why don't we start with you, please?
Almost. I beat you that time.
I'm getting better.
You give me that 1 second that I need. Maybe I'm getting better. I don't know. I think this is a really well done piece. It definitely, death is never the end, just a new beginning. You know, it's down in the AM, and I find that to be, you know, pretty much the direction it's going. I like a lot of the stanzas, especially these last two, where they get masculine energy positive for action that creates the distortion that warrants a reaction. The universe is feminine. Dualism is the attraction. As above, so below. We are what we fathom. Two great lines there, you know, addressing the, husband and wife, as you spoke of in your explanation of the song, but it meets the couple in the song. And I think that the rest of the poem actually leads you down that path that the song leads you, just does it in a whole different fashion. So I think it was well done. So great job, Roshi. Thank you much.
Yeah, he did. I took this to a different place, which was really nice. That thought of there's a note of spirituality, but it's not heavy-handed because it's on those notes of what our ancestors long knew, yet we seem to have forgotten over the multitudes of thousands of years. That thought, just that last stanza, as above, so below, that note of understanding, that constant striving, yet the knowing. That's why we follow the stars from the time we could actually look at the stars and understand their movement. And we followed that range, and we imprinted on the earth that which was above, we did so below. So that was a great thought, and the magic that what we can't explain about life, that's right, it's magic, such an impossible feat, yet miracles happen. That note to all that needed to happen in order for life to bloom here, considering that we started out as a fireball and spent about 1 billion years as an ice ball, and still life managed to burgeon here quite well. Excellent piece, Roshi. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And Mark, how about you?
Yeah, I love the music of it, what it was saying. You know, just the stanzas, the sentences wrapping around. There's that essential line. Pretty remarkable what he's done. Fabric, crafted, magic, happened, matter. Absent, every other line is an essential black syllable line, and it really works with the habits, passion, with the A sound, the travel. It's beautifully and skillfully done, and I think the essential line helps create the nice music of this poem. You just kind of follow through and just see all the kind of intricacies. For me, it's about the magic of life and how we blend in with the universe, the atoms, what there is our consciousness, the dualism among us, men with their feminine side and women with their masculine, kind of working its way through. We're just other forms and shapes of the universe is what it seems to be saying on the same level as the other shapes in the universe, but we have our own human energy kind of weaving among the atoms and the fractions and the light traveling around. It really pulls you in and has a nice music at the poem. I really liked it.
Great comment, Mark. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're coming back your way once more.
Okay. Well, I think I'm going to read this one. He said, "Oh, I'm off mute. Thank God for talking."
I guess I know why.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, you don't have to tell everybody. This one is called "More Cowbells." <by Cornell. clears throat> Romeo and Juliet did not fear the reapers. Recently, though, don't forget, there are some gatekeepers who find fault with the old mold, venomous and bitter. Luckily, events unfold. Elon's buying Twitter. And boom.
Great read, Gene. Thank you very much. I like the fun bite and a little bit of sarcasm in that that last line itself. Elon's buying Twitter, kind of making a little bit of fun at all those who've had such control and managed to get everybody tossed out, yet they might yet materialize once more. Nicely done there, Cool Mills. That was funny. Thank you very much. Mark, how about you?
Very nice, kind of satirical comments on the Twitter acquisition. I think it's well done. The Elon's buying Twitter. The reason he gave was to preserve freedom of speech against the, every time there's controversial Twitter beep, there's gatekeepers who, attack those songs, and he seems to be commenting on that. The old culture on the right, and then the new culture on the left, the various gatekeepers. And in the old days, Romeo and Juliet, I like that, venomous and bitter. It seems to describe the old mold, the old culture, but maybe also the gatekeepers, the debate around the old mold and the old culture represented by Romeo and Juliet. And hopefully it's lucky that it runs on Twitter. I'm not so sure. Anyway, a great topical political comment, and so well written. Just really nice poem about current events.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Mark. And Gene, you got to read it. How about you?
I thought it was a great present. And I did, find, some of his humor in that, and kind of a wagging of the finger at others, we all know these days, one group that wants that wagging of the finger and the other one wants to hear the sarcasm. So I think he kind of did that well. So the great brevity, Cool Mails, and thanks for the read, and great share. Absolutely.
Gene, could you put the poems on the board in the group chat? I'm not always sure I can pick them up.
They're on the chat room board.
The last one wasn't. But I meant.
Oh, you might need to refresh.
Oh, there it is now.
AP does.
Thanks. My mistake. Sorry.
That's all right. Most people think that the program's going to work the way it's supposed to. And then,
usually it does. But there's one big time case.
Okay, Rex. Are you throwing this back to Mary? Is it your turn? Uh-oh. Rex, did I lose you?
No, I'm here.
Oh, hello.
Let's see.
Hello.
Hello.
Am I supposed to put up a poem or are you going to comment? Just asking.
No, actually, I was the first one to comment. Ha-ha. So go ahead and do the next one, please.
That's why I'm confused. Okay, And I'll tell you what, the next poem is for you, Rex. So I'm going to put that out. And we'll see what happens.
Split the Emotion, End at the End by Duncan Rossbell. A killer leaves a spark in a tomb, a breath into night. In blood, we see the weaving loom, a drop to buy the light. There's no hope in the voice, and there's a washed-up head. So here's a knife. The way is easy, we're fed so easy. Slit me emotion, deliver the notion of life, and elect to hang your fate. Slit me emotion, deliver me a life, or better lie, voiceless from the cry. I can flee the cold, but I can flee my hand. Let the darkness mold gone. It seems so easy. Bring the darkest hole on. I was cloned from the bone. This empty stair was born ingrown. Caught in the waves from skipping stones. The endless tides of life gone crazy alone. I'm hiding the turbulence. I'm facing the daily. It's all foreskin and fear. The possum fades as lost self drives. A free fall chant and a chilling dance. The python with a chew. Loose grip, the devil wearing shades, appease the sigh, let the body die, everybody dies. End poem. And Mark, why don't we start with you, please?
Well, he picked up the title part of the prompt to read through. This is a poem, definitely a poem about death and confronting you know, mortality, that kind of thing. And it goes pretty deep into it, and it's really terrific poetry. A killer leaves a spark in a tomb, a breath into the night, and blood. You feed the wounds and a drop to buy the light. And that's real poetry. It's powerfully written. And the train of thought getting into it, the emotion, deliver me a life for better lie. You can flee from the cold, but how can I flee my hand? Just the increasing confrontation, when the reaper entering at the start, and increasing confrontation with death, and then realizing his whole being, his whole physical being is molded as a organic death-ridden thing. I was cloned from the bone. This empty stair is born and grown. So he gets more and more into it, and then talks about fleeing, the lost self drives, the threefold chant, and in the end just accepts and let the body die. Everyone dies. So it's this journey into mortality, thinking about mortality, and it's terrific poetry. Great poem.
Great thought there, Mark. I like that computational angle you brought up. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I think that this is an interesting take on the prompt. You know, this is about a single individual in my mind, more so than, you know, a couple, someone talking to someone else about, you know, it's okay, everything, don't worry about it, it'll be fine, you know. I'm not getting that from this. This is more about, to me, it's more about someone trying to tell themselves that, you know, there's really nothing to fear, you know, just, and it's not a settled feeling I get from it. It's definitely an uncomfortable state for the person to reach the it's okay thing, you know. I don't know how to explain that better. You know, why should I, right? But, you know, I was cloned from the bone. This empty stair was born and grown, caught in the waves from skipping stones, the endless tides of a life gone crazy alone. I'm hiding the turbulence. I'm facing the daily. It's all false skin and fear. The possum fades as the lost self drives, a free-filled chant and a chilling dance. The python with a loose grip, the devil wearing shades, appease the sigh, let the body die, everybody dies. There's something about it I just can't find as being like a settled thought on death. It's someone who's trying to more or less convince themselves in my head. But I could be wrong. Anyway, it's just a nicely done piece. So thank you, Duncan Roth Bell, for sharing. Interesting.
No, you walked that one right. I think the idea of dope bite into the delusion of prolonging that which happens normally, the idea that you can walk past the end of your own life, even though we're born to die, and we die to be born. So the idea of trying to prolong that thought past its expiration date, so to speak, does offer up that mold of thought where we dig so hard into the thought of not wanting to die that we spend so much time fearing death when it's normal for us. We understand that coming in and going out. So the idea of fearing that which we know is going to happen anyway kind of is the delusion which creates the illusion that we're happy when the real happiness comes with actually living life without fear of dying, because then you can actually truly be yourself instead of what you pretend in the interim. So I think you did get into that, Gene. So
thank you. I feel a little better. Sometimes I feel like I'm a little, well, not a little, a lot off the mark. And I'm like, I don't know, though. It just hangs true. So let me see. Okay, you read that one. Okay. Let's see. Okay. Maybe I'll read this one. Okay, Rex, I'm going to give this one a try. You'll be sorry. No more laughing at me.
It's okay.
This is called A Donkey's Lullaby by Jack Blue. Time has madly rolled away just to reap my heart of clay, but I can't count to death if I play a smart Macbeth. Can a donkey be a saint? Wisdom really makes me faint. Seasons have been running hard, so they might deceive the bard. But I'm simply toddling here with a dreamy glass of beer. Can a donkey be so brave? Wipe all ghosts off my grave. Life is never just a game. If all gods are dead to shame, take me to my reaper now. Yes, I'll kick his passion, pal. Who says I'm a drunken fool? Truth is mirrored on the pool. Love is just a drunken boat when I simply play a goat. Bring a cup of wizardry. Yes, I'll drink it, one, two, three. Who's now sailing on the pool? Truth deceives every fool. Shall I count my final time, meditating just to rhyme? Till my reaper, getting mad, starts complaining to his dad. Let me live my fantasies if all storytellers freeze. Shall I count eternally to a true infinity? Till my reaper, getting tired, takes my candle to the dryad. Let me play my theater if the stage begins to blur. And poem.
Great read, Gene. Thank you very much. I like where Jack took this. Nicely done, Jack. Thank you. But first, Mark, what did you think about this?
Very amusing, lovely writing, and just it reads like a fairy tale almost, but a fairy tale of himself. And he it talks about time rolling around him and the ceilings rolling around him and the gods doing their thing, and that he doesn't care, and he's just going to focus on his own private drama with the dreamy glass of beer. And not worry about death, wipe all the ghosts off my grave. He's just going to sit here. And he's not worried if he's superficial. Truth is mirrored on the pool. It's right there in this moment. And he's just going to sit there and enjoy it. And he doesn't care about larger significance or the grim fact of death. my reaper getting mad starts complaining to his dad, which I guess is God. He's not going to worry about destiny and mortality. It's just going to be his moment, his life, sitting there by the pool. It's a little fairy tale. It was really nicely done. Nice one.
Excellent, Mark. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, you got to read it. How about you?
I did. There's so many good stanzas in this piece, most definitely. I'm kind of tossing around which one I really want to go to. Let's go to the second stanza. Seasons have been running hard, so they might deceive the bard. But I'm simply toddling here with a dreamy glass of beer. Can a donkey be so brave? Wipe all ghosts off of my grave. Sorry, I added a word there. My bad. Just clever thoughts throughout. You know, like this reference to Macbeth in the first line, or the first stanza. You know, I think about a bard in the second. And this donkey, well, I don't know who the donkey is, but he's popping up. Okay. You know, can a donkey be a saint? I mean, that's a silly question. It's a fun question. But he really does delve into it. And I think it was there were some strong thoughts behind this, I believe. It just had a lot of substance. Is that a good way to put it? I felt that there was just a lot going on. And I much enjoyed it. It was clever and well penned. Yeah, nice work.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, Jean. I too hit on that thought with Shakespeare and Macbeth, because he hits on the bard too in the second stanza. So I got into a note from Shakespeare: "All the world's a stage, and we are but players upon that stage." So I think that's the idea. He's rolled in here with a couple of humorous notes. I think the thought with the donkey is, hey, you know, being the ass, so to speak, can an ass be a saint? Then he hits on that. There's a really good piece. Where was it? Now I can't find it. "Shall I count my final time, meditating just to rhyme, till my reaper getting mad starts complaining to his dad?" a nice little touch of humor right there. And who says I'm a drunken fool, truth is mirrored on the pool. And then the thought with the candle comes right out of the song too. "Let me play my theater if the stage begins to blur." Again, that return to the thought with Shakespeare and "All the world's a stage." So it's cleverly writ, Jack. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Yeah. I have to say, Rex, when I started reading this and it started talking about Macbeth and then a donkey and then the bard, I really thought he was going somewhere with that donkey at, like, the Midsummer's Night Dream. And I wasn't sure about that. But then the donkey kind of faded away, so it kind of had me curious, though.
Yeah.
I thought that would have, like, been a direction.
It did have a touch of that. Like, bottom and Midnight Summer Dream, the donkey is there. It's almost like he might be a bottom figure in the fairies or something like that. There might be a touch of that.
Yeah. Summer's Night Dream is what came to my head right there, but yeah, I don't know. You never know. But nice work. Okay, Mark. I know it's at the 11 o'clock hour, so I'm going to put your piece up next.
Well, we could do it maybe after. It's kind of a long poem. Maybe just do it at the end of the show or some other night. There's a sound cloud around. It'd be nice just to look at the other. I have to leave in 5 minutes anyway, so maybe look at it.
I know, that's
why
I'm to
you.
We could do it while you're here.
You don't have to do
that's
mine.
Fine.
It's kind of long.
That's all right. It's going to be long. We'll do it at the beginning, middle, or the end, so it's all good. So here we go.
Do you want me to do mine?
Baby, don't you fear the reaper. Don't lose heart if they call you a sinner.
Oh, well, I think we'll have to play yours at the end because that one had. Okay, let's just not do that. Okay. Well, I'm sorry about that, Mark. I really was going to put it at the...
It's all fine.
I'm going to put up the next one.
What was that, the play? Which that sounded nice, that play. Was that one of the poems that you just played?
Yeah, it is. I'm actually going to put that one up next since I already started with the music, so we may as well just do it all together.
It's really nice.
This is called Don't Fear the Reaper by SSM.
Wait, Jean, I didn't get permission on that one yet. Oh, okay.
I did. Yeah, she said she had a blanket, so we're good. Here we go.
Baby, don't you fear the reaper. Don't lose heart if they call you a sinner. Look inside your heart and drown out all words bitter. Oh, baby, why you fear the reaper? The only thing that matters is love, only love. Now take my hand, let's fly away. Let's take warmth from the sun. Let all of our fears burn. Oh baby, why you fear the reaper? Then God always be a keeper. Oh baby, don't you fear the reaper? Oh baby, why you fear the reaper?
Great read, SSM. Thank you very much to SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, let's start with you, please.
Well, you know, I thought this was really interesting. When I first started listening to it, I'm like, okay. And I was like, okay, it's not a parody. But she definitely put the notes on it. But she says down here, tribute courtesy of Blue Oyster Cult and Imagination Dragons song. So I thought that was interesting that she combined two songs here. And she says that the Reaper denotes the Orthodox and Dogmatic Society. She's pretty clever. I mean, she definitely is just putting in... Some wonderful thoughts throughout, and I think she took a clever opportunity to do that. So definitely a nice piece, and well done.
Wow, thank you very much, Jean. And Mark, how about you?
Yeah, I agree with Jean. Really nicely done. It's like a lullaby, and how I see it, an adult lullaby. It could be a lover, or this poem could be for a little kid. It's, you know, the object of love, and it's sung as a lullaby, but with an interesting twist. You know, it's kind of simple lullaby, consolingly, it's, baby, don't you feel the reaping, don't take it as hard if they call you a singer. A bit of gospel in that too, and a bit, just the consoling, and then the let's take one from the sun, let all of our fears burn. So it's a nice twist, a consoling poem. And beautifully sung, of course. And I love the voice and the articulation that brought out the music of the voice. Really great job.
Oh, I like that thought with the lullaby, Mark. That's nicely touched on. It does, and you're right, it does come across like that front stanza. Don't fear, don't lose heart. If they call you a sinner, look inside your heart and drown it all words bitter. There's also a kind of spiritual note to this, too, because she hits on the back end. God will always be your keeper. So, baby, don't you fear the reaper. There's that note of... living life for what it is instead of paying heed to those who would try to bring you down or keep you from being who you are. So it's a great piece on that note. Thank you, SSM. All right, Gene.
Hey, guys, I have to drop off. My wife's waiting. It's 11 o'clock, and I kind of promised. But as far as my poem, late tonight is another minute's time. It's kind of a long poem, so I don't really have the time to do it and get into it. So I'm going to drop off. I really enjoyed this. The poems are terrific. They're just a lovely show so far.
Thanks for having me. Always a good night, Mark. Welcome.
I'm glad you stopped in for a while, Mark. It was a pleasure having you here. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I miss you guys. So, all right, take it easy, Mark.
Again, you take it easy. Okay, Rex.
Yes.
I think that I'm going to put the next one up for you. And what the hell did I do here? I don't think we want to know what I did there. Okay. I'll go in here and do it. Let's make a new tab. I'm easy. Let's see. Here we go. And this is by Orange Sage.
Ah, okay. White Candles by Orange Sage. A candle, white as the virgin dawn, with a flame, blue as the devil's heartless chamber, where the reaper roams with his hooded cloak and sharpened scythe. Slim candle, smooth like a baby's face, yet its flame was powerful enough to scorch the stockings from Juliet's feet, the toggles from Romeo's best courting suit, scorch the earth orange, and the reaper, who'd believe an innocent stick of beeswax could throw such a fearful flame into the reaper's soulless hole? For his grim fell to his knees weeping, "Forgive me, please, oh please, for taking all those people who I should have let pass with natural causes." Flame blew him into a gaseous fireball of splendor, and bits of cloak and scythe rained down.
Right, really safe.
On the strange and dark and orange earth, with tinges of green beginning and poem. Nicely done, Orange. Thank you. All right, Gene, what'd you think of that?
Well, honestly, I think I liked it. You really faded out a lot. So I was kind of getting lost in the fact you were almost missing. So I apologize. But it does seem a great take on the prompt. Absolutely. Here we are. Slim candle, smooth like a baby's face, yet its flame was powerful enough to scorch the stockings from Juliet's feet, the toggles from Romeo's best courting suit, scorch the earth orange, and the reaper, who'd believe an innocent stick of beeswax could throw such fearful flame into the reaper's soulless hole, for his grim fell to his knees weeping. But I could keep reading. But I really do think that this was a really well-written piece with a great thought to the prompt itself. And, I think that it was really, really nicely written and well done. Nice work, Orange Sage, for sure.
Well, thank you very much, Gene. I like the fact that the orange one really different. White candle as the title, and then the candle as the motif, because there is the mention of the candle in the song itself. It blew out and then he disappeared. So Orange went with the candle as the full metal jacket, so to speak, that motif which gives light to all. Yet when blows out, there can be new beginnings from the darkness itself. So there is that note of the green beginning being a new world, a new life beyond this one itself, figuratively, as the reaper kind of blows into a gaseous fireball of splendor, which is a nice note. It kind of hits on that thought of seeing the light at the end of the tunnel when one passes over into the next realm. So I thought this was excellent voice, especially using the motif of the candle to light the way. And then give a glorious kiss off to the Reaper himself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right. Where would you like to go next?
I don't know. I don't know. Let me see. I'm going to hang on to Betty. And there. I got Naomi's. Okay, let me go to Casey Days. That sounds like a winning spot. And we'll put it up and hit the button. There we go.
This is Yeti Love Song. I'm an old lonely Yeti. My name is Big Betty. And one day I got a knock on my door. He was a big hairy guy. He had twinkle in his eye, and he threw his duffel bag on my floor. Welcome to my manor, I said, opening my planner. How long do you intend to stay? Not too long, my dear. I have a long way, I fear. I'd stay for dinner if it's not too late. I said, not at all. But all I have's a ball of Yeti spaghetti, made it my own way. Then I put a heaping mound on his plate. He said, I doubt that I'll like it. He made a face just to spite it. But boy, he must have really liked the taste. He kissed me long before he opened my door and took with him his duffel bag. He's been craving Yeti spaghetti since the day that he met me, and I wouldn't want it any other way. Oh, I left a heaping mound on his plate, and he took my heart with him that day.
He's funny.
Great read, Casey. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated, and I must say, you had way too much fun with this. It's lighthearted. It's funny. Yeti and Betty, and then the Yeti spaghetti angle, that was funny. But when you and the Southern accent to go with this was a nice touch. There was some of the song, Betty, I can't think of it, doesn't matter. But I'll tell you what, he left the big guy left with a smile on his face, so I guess you must have done the right thing. All right, Gene. What did you think of this?
With all those Yetis, man. All those Yetis. Yeah, that was pretty funny. I was probably the first humorous piece I've heard from Casey. And I thought she did a good job with it. Between the accent and the Yeti spaghetti and Don't Forget Betty and all that. It was just, it was well-rhymed. It was fun. It was lighthearted. So, yeah, nice work. Definitely, Casey. Definitely. Yeah.
Now I remember what that was. Do you remember back in the 70s there was the Bertha Butt song?
Kinda.
My name is Bertha. Bertha Butt. One of the Butt sisters.
Oh, God. Oh, I'm
that had me
that
ringing
up,
when she hit on that second line, my name is Big Betty. I thought of Bertha right then, and I said, oh, my God, where's this going?
Oh, God. Yeah, I read it. When I loaded the sound clip, I listened to it, and I was going, okay. But the Yeti spaghetti had me going. I was like, okay, there you go. Definitely, piece.
Everything's got to eat, so why not Yeti spaghetti? And after all, the funny part about that is spaghetti actually did originate in China, so, and yet it comes from the Himalayas out in the Tibetan region, so yeah, it kind of fits.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, pretty good. Good stuff. Let me see here. Hang on one second. You hear my keyboard? I know you do. Everybody tells me I'm too loud on my keyboard, but it's really hard. Don't know how to quiet it any better. Okay, now you get out of there. Just a little confusing stuff. Yeah, so that was a good one by Casey, absolutely. And now, it's just you and me. So I think now I'm going to pick up Mark Loopy's piece, as I think I fixed that problem. Because, you know, I'm pretty, yeah, that was pretty good. He was sounding a little high-pitched. So let me put it up, and I'm going to go hit the button, and we'll see what happens.
Pickup artist at the Burning Love. Hi there. Do you come here a lot? Are you a frequenter of this bar? I love its name, the Burning Love. Let me go through my list of pickup lines that you can't resist before I forget that you and I exist. The pickup lines. Love's balanced on a knife, and that's because so is life. You're my only love. There's just you. You know that's a come-on, but it's always sort of true. I'll love you forever and immediately forget. Let's relax, light up, stub out a cigarette. Use each other as the ashtrays. Know what I'm saying? Let's be serious, which means that we are playing. Let's kiss forever and ignore the sex. Pipe the fluid till we're drunken wrecks. Let's talk forever and ignore the meaning. This is what we are anyway, this muddled dreaming. Your place or mine? Do you know what they're playing on the piano? Do you know what we're paying? Will this give us something we can't get elsewhere? And if it doesn't, can we afford to care? Afterwards, will we stagger unsteadily in the park, lie down, pull off our pants in the dark? Will we make drunken love on the river bank, where 40,000 drunken previous lovers sank? And the many skyscrapers show the true ecstatic light, and the few stars wheel above them, trying to keep up brokenly in the night. Before we leave, let's listen to this song. It's playing now, and it won't take long. It means everything, and it makes no sense. It's also called the Burning Love, Pure Coincidence. Always put the quarter in, selected on the juke. It's the one prelude to my drunken fucks. The song. Will you tell me when we get there? Will everything be finally clear? Will the words still be the same? Will something finally have a name? Will someone finally be able to see that I love you and you love me? Or will we still have to guess? Or will they fob us off with happiness? End of poem.
Great read, Mark. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. Well, Gene, what do you think about this?
I thought it was a very interesting take on the prompt. And I noticed that his prompt is, this part of the song is 40,000 men and women every day, like Romeo and Juliet. 40,000 men and women every day, redefine happiness. Another 40,000 coming every day. We can be like they are. Come on, baby, don't fear the Reaper. Baby, take my hands. Don't fear the Reaper. We'll be able to fly. Don't fear the Reaper. Baby, I'm your man. I think it's intriguing the way that he fed in and interpreted it back out into this piece. It was a clever piece, and it was well written, well run. Definitely, I guess it was well thought out because it's a cohesive piece. That's what I mean by that. But nicely done, Mark, and intriguing, definitely. So, good stuff.
Absolutely. Thank you, Gene. There was some really wry, dry humor in this, which turned in on itself because of the fluid notes. He just balanced on the pit, like the stanza, the pickup lines. You're my only love, there's just you. You know that's a come on, but it's always sort of true. I'll love you forever and immediately forget. Let's relax, light up, stub out a cigarette, use each other as ashtrays. Know what I'm saying? Let's be serious, which means that we are playing. Let's kiss forever, ignore the sex, pipe the fluid till we're drunken wrecks. Let's talk forever and ignore the meaning. This is what we are anyway, this muddled dreaming. What a great stands all by itself, the thought to reality juxtaposed in that way. And then that the thought with that your place or mine, and the thought we'll make drunken love on the riverbank where 40,000 drunken previous lovers sank. Some nice funny notes, but that last one kind of hits on the notion of how people meet in their drunken ways. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. Other times they're just ships in the night passing and they never really get together. But it is funny how the odd ways that people meet and actually come together, so to speak, briefly in the moment or along the lines of a forever thought or just as one of those brief moments in history. So this is a clever way to play this out. I liked it. It's funny. Thank you very much, Mark. All right, Gene.
Okay.
Where are we going now?
I don't know. We're just bouncing back and forth here.
We've gone all over the map with this song. So people had some fun with it.
Absolutely. That's too funny. Oh, my God. Yeah, there's so many different pieces that have just come out of this prompt. I'm like, okay. Betty the Yeti, though, that's a good one. That's a good one. Absolutely. That was good. Too funny. Look, I'm putting this next one up. I think I'm going to give it a whirl. I can't make you read everything from here forward, so. It wouldn't be fair. This is The Medusa Touch, a soliloquy. I am the man with the plan of elan, a dash, not rash, or splashing the cash, but panache is like a flash in the pan. Bruxism or not, my teeth can gnash. Nosh, sorry. How is it that I can be wield death, the starborn but torn to pieces? Skies and blue eyes and smoky breath, chains of my oration ceases. Stop. Desist on this twist of a wrist, and in the tail don't fail to see New Age knights whose flames flying fist, bloody blames, finger pointing plea. Mouth of the south and beast of the east, the tide is my ride to surf on earth. My mirth is made of life, at least, most coast or cruise between sea and turf. So slow or fast, the tempo's up to you. This brain train is on a track and rails, not fails. To see the doors of destiny are a clue. Now, a gawk and a gape as my ship sails. End the poem. Sorry.
Great read, Gene. And another sparkling piece that was very much different. I like the thought of bringing death into, as the thought was the Medusa touch, so to speak. Hey, you're all mine in the end. So, and the thought of offering a, so slow or fast, the tempo's up to you. This brain train is on track, and rails not fails to see the doors of destiny are due. Now a gog and a gape as my ship sails. So there's that notation. Hey, you know what? You might be someone with a grand plan in life. You might just well enjoy life while you have, because when I set sail and I come for you, I will not fail in taking what's due, and that would be your body. Nice. I like this. This was my mirth is made of life, least, most coastal crew between sea and turf. What a great pair of lines that was, too. Thank you, Metaphysical. That was most enjoyable. And another different piece. And, Gene, you got to read it. What about you?
We're back here again? Wait, to you? To me? No, I'm not. I'm not ready. Can you go to somebody else? No, I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. I'm trying to be funny. This is a great piece. Lots of wonderful rhymes throughout, although I screwed one or two of them up, and I apologize for that. Just really, really a clever, clever piece. Lots of wonderful thoughts throughout. You know, I'm looking, stop, desist, this twist of a wrist. And in the tale, don't fail to see. New age knights with flames, flying fists, bloody blames, finger-pointing plea. Yeah, there's a little bit of a tongue twister at spots for me, and I'm going, whoa. Like, can you get it right, Gene? You know. But just, I don't know, I just thought it was really nice. I'm not familiar with the Medusa touch. I'm not, you know, the 007 fan in the crowd. I think that's what it is, right? Richard Burton. No, it's Richard Burton and whatever. I don't know. I don't know the movie. So I'd be lying if I did. If I said it in. Speaking of lyrics, don't fear the Reaper. Yeah, I don't know. He says that the movie was the inspiration for the poem. But it was pretty well done, I think. I really do. Each stanza was, I want to say dense. It kind of held its own, you know, in a position. I don't know how else to say it. They were strong. They were strong stanzas throughout. And well done. Just, you know, great work. So nice job, Metaphysical Migraine. Yes. And let's see now. My voice is giving me a metaphysical migraine. I swear. Yeah. Okay. I guess it's back to me, right? See, I'm getting quick on this.
Okie dokie.
I'm kidding. Okay, I'm going to stop being silly now because I have to be. Okay, Rex, I'm going to put the next one up for you. And this is by Wichita Rex. And here we go.
Okay. Final Forgiveness by Wichita Rex. Final Forgiveness. Beginnings are so blessed, they are given your own special day. Little light from candles are a tasty treat before you're thrown back in the fray. Rarely marking or counting the time in between a race where we just finished first and last. Drum rolls started with pots or pans and a kazoo to snare and fife with 21-gun salute. We won't decide when they will play. Elementary times have narrow views but less crimes. Protection seems natural. The atlas just spins on a desk with the universe still seeming vast. Sudden surge, most follow a hidden urge. Busy bees find the prettiest trees, smiling at survival day by day. Time still making marks, meeting closer to the middle, thinking more of a future and taking lessons from our past. Caught in a landslide of lists of disease or despair, see the light to maintain right, keeping things clear to avoid the gray. Passion slow grinding gears, but on we go, terminal thoughts may grow, simple solutions meaning more, goodness measured in laughs. God and the devil passing your soul up and down, falling to a flaming canyon or a golden zenith, leaving your notes cast the votes, pay off the layaway, no chance to replay. Each day, on full display, find the goodness, feeling more, but not less. Inevitable and open gates, have I shared enough smiles to flatten my karma curve? Is our epitaph now consisting of those photographs and these paragraphs? End poem. All right, Gene. Some more little humorous barbs in this one, too. What you got?
I think this is a well-done piece by Rick. Drum rolls start with pots or pans and a kazoo. It's a snare and life with 21 guns to loot. We don't decide when they will play. How true is that, We don't get to decide when they'll play. A sudden surge, most follow a hidden urge. Busy bees find the prettiest trees, smiling at survival day by day. I don't know. I think this is just, it's well done, and there's a lot of great lines in it. The last three lines, each day on full display, find the goodness, feeling more, not less. Inevitable and open gate, have I shared enough smiles to flatten my karma curve? Is our epitaph now consisting of those photographs and these paragraphs? A great way to tie it all together at the end, I think, But as you said, there is a good touch of humor throughout this piece, and I think that it just it was an interesting take on the song, but it was just really well done. I could kind of say, it doesn't need the prompt in order to be. It really has its own life here. And so good work, and I liked it a lot, Rick. And thanks for sharing it with us.
Oh, absolutely. Those last couple of stanzas hit on the idea of, like I said, goodness measured in laughs. Leave your notes, cast the votes, pay off the layaway, no chance to replay. And there's a nice note, hey, you get one chance in life. Don't spoil it with stupidity, so to speak. And the thought, have I shared enough smiles to flatten my karma curve? Is our epitaph now consisting of those photographs and these paragraphs? There's that note to, have I done enough in this life to remember past that which I spent here in the meantime, which does hit on that note, have I done enough good to be thought of kindly in the future? So, hey, let's hit on that night. Beginnings are so blessed they're given their own special day. Little light from candles and taste cheap before you throw back in the fray. There's that beginnings, the thought to birth. And I do like that third stanza with the drum rolls, the pots and pans, the canoe, the kazoo, snare and fife with the 21 gun salute. What a thought just to a great send-off, so to speak.
Yeah.
And it's on the whole, it's making a all that one can out of life as the day, as each new day meets its own test of you physically, mentally, and emotionally. Nicely done, Rick. Thank you very much. All right, Jane, where would you like to go next?
I want you to know that if I get a send-off, that's really what I want, pots, pans, and a kazoo. Because that just really
well,
gives
that does
me a kind
of sound like a bit of fun.
Yeah, what the hell,
It's like you're having a bunch of kids banging away, and you tell them, no. Well, you know what? It is a great way to go. happy and fond remembrance.
Why not? Give everybody else something to think about.
Absolutely.
I'm just going to be morbid. At my husband's funeral, we had we had this unusual snowstorm in the middle of March. It wasn't hugely unusual, but it was unusual. And we sent the kids outside, all ages, all kids went outside and they had a snowball fight. And it just gave them something to distract them. So, yeah, why not pots, pans, and a kazoo? I like it. I'm putting in a request. That's it.
Well, you know what does that too?
My family.
a good funeral march in New Orleans where they bring out the brass band and they do the dirge through the streets. Now, that's a grand time.
There you go. There you go. Honest to heavens. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Here we go. I got the next one. I got the next one, Rex. I got the next one. Don't you worry about it.
It must be a shorty.
Rex is saying I'm... Hey, hey. What are you trying to say? So what if it is, huh? Size doesn't matter.
Nothing. But you said that with such verve and pomp and circumstance. Hey, I got the next one.
It's got a silver piece from the next piece. I don't know where I just sent it. Holy mackerel, I don't know where I just sent it to, but it's gone.
Okay. I couldn't resist. That was too easy to pass on.
Yeah. Whatever. Y'all like the mess. But usually they are short ones. I admit it. I do. Okay, this one is called The Color of My Soul by Jesna Fajan. And I don't know if I pronounced that right, and forgive me if I did not. Nightfall shatters the sleep of dusk. Brightness sharpens dark orange hues. Slowly enveloping the celestial skies, clouds descend silvery gray linings. Chants and chimes sing bedtime lullabies, thinkers of compassion, whispers of maladies, measure of demotions, miserly treasures, isolated by leisure, power, fame, centuries. Sky blue sunlight lightens my dawns, whisking to work, growing my barns. Jealousy is my gray. Gratitude is my white. Silence is my black. Abandon selects your light. The shade of the banyan bark shadows fears. Leaves cover my homelessness, chills and near. Gray hairs enlighten wisdom, enlightenment. World is my stage, my visions of empowerment. End poem.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. I like the thought of the color of my soul and how things affect. You hit on that nightfall shadows of sleep of dust, brightness sharpens dark orange hues, slowly enveloping the celestial skies, clouds descend silvery gray linings. There's a nice thought, the thought of every cloud has a silver lining, but this one's colored in both silver and gray. There is a note to letting things, especially that second stanza, the bedtime lullabies, whispers of maladies, the miserly treasures, and sane censures. So there is that kind of a note to you should be content in what you have instead of striving for that which really isn't that important. Because you hit on that last stanza, gray hairs enlighten wisdom, enlightenment, world is my stage, my visions of empowerment. There's that note to, with age comes a thought to of understanding. And in that understanding, one should always remember from whence one comes, as afterwards it really doesn't matter. So the idea of living a life past the darkness and the gray, and living in the sunlight, so to speak, has its advantages and keeps one healthy, and it does make for better and happier days. What about you? Since you got to read it, what do you think?
You know, I thought it was a nicely penned piece and a clever take on the original prompt. The original prompt was write a poem for a contest, searching for the light or darkness. And I think that she really met that one very well. That was a clever piece to put into your prompt, into your contest. But I really think she met the original prompt best. Sky blue sunlight lightens my dawns, whisking to work, guarding my barns. Jealousy is my gray. Gratitude is my white. Silence is my black. Abandoned celestial light. And I think that that one stanza there really took you right into that prompt. And it was nicely done, just nicely done. Nicely rhymed, well written, great thoughts throughout. Use of color was good, good imagery, that's for sure. So nice work. Thanks for sharing with us.
All righty then.
Don't leave me now. Don't
hey,
leave me out.
We're reaping in the night tonight.
yes, we are.
Oh.
Yes, we are. Okay. What's that? I'm going to put this piece up for you, Rex. So whenever you are ready,
all right,
you know. I pop the terminal.
Uh-huh. Never Learned from Romeo by Papa Terminus. Bloody Valentine gripped in the fiery clutch of death, last caress pressing my spine. The Reaper speaks in an accent that makes the flowers bleed from deathbeds and nightmares. In those Argonne years, the echoes of owls screeching from the chapels under black shrouds. We shouldn't fear death, caress it like a lost lover or a forgotten friend, walking hand in hand with the Reaper. One night, butterflies flutter by through the morning teardrop skies, another fleeting Monday, gray days pointing me straight to hell. But don't fear the Reaper. Embrace her as your lover, as your long-lost friend, walking hand in hand with death. The Reaper can be a gentleman or a lady dressed in garments of black, for this is not a love song, a poor man's Casanova, never learned from Romeo. And poem.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jean. What do you think about this
one?
Well,
I think this is a perfect take on your props. I do. That's just my opinion, though. I think it was really well written. I think Papa Terminus did a great job with this piece. You know, I mean, it's, wow, let me just, gosh. I just want to read the whole darn thing again. You know? One night butterflies fluttered by through the morning teardrop skies. Another fleeting Monday, gray days pointing me straight to hell. But don't fear the Reaper. Embrace her as your lover, as your long-lost friend, walking hand in hand with death. Great lines, great stanzas. Just a really great piece. I really did like this very much. So, you know, I mean, it's great imagery, a bunch of wonderful thoughts. I think it tied in nicely to this song without, you know, having, like, a lot of exacts coming from the song, and I just, yeah, it was, I thought it was just impressively done. So, excellent work, Papa Terminus. Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, Gene. This what it did hit on the darker side, but it really isn't that dark, because you hit on that that first stanza, Bloody Valentine gripped in a fire clutch of death, last caress pressing my spine. There's kind of a note there to almost. Living and dying in the love aspect at that moment. And the thought of that last stanza can be a gentleman or a lady dressed in garments of black. That, I thought, was a nice touch, going both angles of the equation, playing on the love angle, so to speak, because it does hit on Casanova, Never Learns from Romeo, because in the grip of things, because you hit on Bloody Valentine up top, the idea of losing and gaining and losing love. There can be a death in that. And it's on another one, too. One night butterflies fluttered by through the morning teardrop skies. Another fleeting Monday, gray days pointing me straight to hell. One night butterflies, kind of, it's on that notion of a singularity in the moment. And you thought something might have been there, but no. It just moved on like that that fleeting Monday, the gray day that kind of gives you your heart a spasm as though you're walking down a long road to nevermore. A great take on this, Papa. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Gene. We're coming back to you once more.
Well, it's 20 of them. I think we're going to be done a little bit early tonight. But just so you know, I have this next piece for you. I need you to take a drink because I need you to get ready for it. Okay?
All right,
Gene. Okay, here we go. You ready to take your drink? This piece is by Marvin Goldberg. You're ready when you are.
Wow. Romeo and Juliet's Time Machine by Marvin Goldfarb. Romeo, isn't this a big anachronism? Yes, Juliet, but this is how we left your family prison. So, hurry on, and boom. All right, Gene.
It's definitely interesting. It's short. It's sweet. It's a great brevity, you know. I mean, I'm not, yeah, it ties in somehow. That's what I can say, because he's got the Romeo and Juliet angle on it, and, yeah, a time machine to get away from all the parents. That sure beats suicide, right? But, yeah, just clever and fun. So, nice job, Marvin Goldberg. Yep.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. And the bite in this was played off with some nice humor despite the tragic unfolding of the events. So, yeah, hurry on. Come on. We haven't time to waste.
Exactly.
Oh, exactly. That was definitely funny and delightful in its thought.
See, we never know what we'll run into.
Yes, we've been in an eclectic arena of romance and death tonight. Nicely done.
This is kind of like my world. It's eclectic. Exactly. This is a Friday night special. We just carried it to Sunday. You know, because some Friday nights.
Yeah, I think we've been everywhere.
Yes, yes, yes. Makes me want to burst into, I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, you know, but I won't think. I'll do my best to avoid that.
Yeah, nice touch with you. Take a drink. As though, oh, yeah, you put this up. Yeah, I'm going to need the drink because it's going to be a long one. Aha.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, see, I didn't read that one. Did you notice that? I didn't take that one.
Yeah, you couldn't resist tossing it at me.
No, it was too good. Oh, my God. Okay, listen, we have one piece left. So what you've got, Rex? You got a piece hanging around we can read after? Maybe?
I hadn't thought about it. How many we got left?
One. We have Diane D.
Oh.
We might just be one when it's over. But we'll see. Maybe we just, you know, I don't know. You can sing us a song at the end. That would be good.
Well, actually, there's a sound card, okay. So I don't have to sing it. Ha-ha.
I know. But I figured you could sing us, an outro.
Yeah, I started worrying earlier when she put this up. Oh, damn, no. Don't do this to me, Diane.
Okay, I'm going to hit that button now. So here we go, Rex.
Don't fight your demons. A parody of Don't Fear the Reaper by Blue Oyster Cult by Diane D. Death will call on you. Life was once a dream. people don't fight your demons, not with your life, your death, or your soul. You don't have to no more. Don't you worry, don't fight your demons. Understand, don't fight your demons. You're alone, don't fight your demons in a fallen land. Suicide is hope. Here but now, I'm gone. Demons dance with Lucifer. There forever is history. Everybody sins in secrets by my name. Everybody sins in secrets by my name. Another everybody got in my way. Don't you worry, don't fight your demons. Understand, don't fight your demons. You'll be alone, but not, don't fight your demons in a fallen land. Don't fight all alone. Words will turn to stone. Then the whole world was grieving. People wept and wouldn't let go. Then the dead were walking with their soul in their hand. The reaper came just to reprimand. The demons came just to own their land. Same, we're here to stay. Don't you worry, just try to let go. They walked away, they have wandered away. Don't you worry, don't fight your demons. End poem.
Great read, Diane. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Jean, haha. Did this sparkle your tingle?
I just think that this was a good parody on the song itself. And she had a great idea with, don't fight your demons. I thought that was a great replacement line for, don't fear the reaper. I would have liked to have heard it sung, and I don't think that's a comfort level for Diane, and I get that. But I think it would have been interesting, because I think she had this, with the song, because as she was reading it, I was like kind of trying to you know, line up the words in my head. And I think she did a really good job. Definitely. It's not simple. It's a little bit of a complex job to do this as a parody, I think, personally. And I think that she did a wonderful job with that. And I think she nailed it, you know, in that respect. So nicely done, Diane. And thank you so much for sharing that with us. It was a great, it was a great last piece for the night. You know, it hit the notes. It worked for your prompts. A good parody. And, I think that it just, really worked well for the show. So, and for the contest. It's a nice job.
Absolutely. You're right. She did do a spot-on interpretation with the syllabic content and the flow itself, because it does work well with the music, especially opening up Death Will Call on You, Life Was Once a Dream. That little notation, do a hold the note for a second before you continue on, which is right. And then the bottom half of that first stanza, the last three lines, also the little speed up to thought where people don't fight your demons, not with your life, your death, your soul. You don't have to no more. So she worked it in well. And she played out a different theme, hitting on the idea of don't fight your demons, which was another nice note to a bit of humor as well. So well done, Diane. And yes, you're right. There is a note to singing. It ain't that easy.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's a lot of thought in the background. I can't really do that. No. I'll embarrass the shit out of myself, so to speak. But sometimes half the fun is embarrassing yourself, because then you find out if you can actually do it or not. And even if you do embarrass yourself, hey, sometimes it's just all about the fun.
Right,
well done,
right.
Diane.
In my case,
thank
I just
very
don't
much.
Want anybody's ears to bleed.
Hey, there is but one more on the board that we haven't done. Ha-ha. I put that down as a last thought. Betty's.
Oh, you know what? I put
calling on there on purpose just to make sure it kind of sat till end of the night.
Oh, Betty. Betty,
yes.
Betty. I did. I forgot about hers. I skipped over it thinking she was going to call and just totally lost it. Okay, well.
I did that with the thought that she might, but also putting it at the back end.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good thinking. Good thinking, Lincoln. What am I doing here? Good gosh, Gert. I got it. Yes. Okay, well, I guess it's a girl piece, huh? Okay. Well, let me put it up. Let me make it big enough that I can read it. Maybe I won't stumble so much. This is called Little Mrs. Devil by Betty Page. Take me here now. Tie my wrist and make a vow. I delight in you. Lavage me within. Oh, come on, love. Do me in. Mrs. Devil sins. In ways you desire, I'll set your heart on fire with wicked passions. Dare you run away. I'll find another as prey. Do them so wicked. Why have just a taste? Baby, please don't hesitate. Been waiting decades. Who will be my first? It is said I have much thirst. Bloodlust explicit. And poem.
Great read, Jean. And another bite at a very different apple tonight. This kind of, hey, you know, take me here and now, tie my wrist and make a vow, I delight in you. And then was it dare you run away, I'll find another as prey, do them so wicked. Baby, please don't hesitate, been waiting for decades. Yeah, I've been waiting just for you, just for the taste of you, for this evening, you're mine. And then you're going to revert to the astral plane permanently. So. I like the thought, especially with the back end of the bloodlust thought to the Reaper. Nice touch, Betty. Another little bite of humor as well as passion and a bit of sensuality. Yes, If I'm going to die, make sure it's on the good way out.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, that must have been what that cardinal said in New York as he lay dead in the prostitute's bed. That's a true story. That was about 1978.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if that's why they call it a cardinal sin.
Maybe. You never know, Rex. You never know.
Well, yeah, it's got to come from somewhere.
Oh, my God.
All right, Jean, you got to read it. How about you?
Wow. You know, I think Betty did a great job on this. And as you said, it comes in from a whole different angle. And it makes me chuckle because I'm like, wow, how many ways can this go? But it really was, a great piece. Betty's so damn devilish. Take me here and now, or tie my wrists and make a vow. I delight in you. Ravage me within. Oh, come on, love, do me in. Mrs. Devil sins. In ways you desire, I'll set your heart on fire with wicked passions. Like, I'm trying to pick a stanza out of this, and it's like, no, they just kind of really need to stay together. I think that they really do. It was an enjoyable piece. It was well rhymed. It was fun, fun to read, devilish, which is also fun. A lot of times. It's just good, it's just a good piece, and it has that Betty flavor to it. Her pieces, you can kind of almost tag them as Betty's, because of the way she writes and the way that she puts her thoughts together. And I like it, I really do. So excellent job, Betty, and I'm kind of glad we had this for the end of the show. Perfect. Perfect. That's it, Rex. That's all I got to say, man. That's it.
Well, that brings it up nicely because we're at the back end of the show. So that was quite a bit of fun evening.
Yeah.
Had some humor, had a little touch of darkness, some passion, and all the way around a huge amount of differing thoughts to the song itself, which was actually quite pleasing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That was a great
show.
I thank you for that. Mark, thank you very much for stopping in for a while. Much appreciated. And thank you, everyone, for the SoundClouds. Hey, and everybody else, if you have the ability to do SoundClouds, don't be afraid to drop a SoundCloud into your work. We'd be more than happy to air a SoundCloud and thoroughly enjoy hearing your voice read your work with the proper notations and variations that come with the piece itself. It'd be greatly appreciated. So if you can do it, drop it in, and we'll be glad to put them on air.
That's right. And you won't have to hear me trip over your words. Just saying, everybody. I'm trying not to. I can't help it. It helps. See, I know my faults. So, look, we got a minute left. There's no after midnight show tonight. Tomorrow we have Lou Wild Dove of the Garden of Enlightenment. And I believe that's open poetry. Anyone who's interested in there, she's looking for rights on the board. Followed by After Midnight with Rex and Pam. So hopefully everyone will hear from you and you give a call in, drop a poem on the board, either one, hang out, call if you can. It all works. It all works. Some days you're the windshield, and some days you're the bug. We all got a place, and every day's a little different.
It's funny. I just used that recently.
Did you?
Yeah. I forgot who did the quote on that. But I used that quote. It came up with some really good lines on that one too.
Yeah, yeah. It's It's a fun fun thing. I only remember the song. I couldn't have told you if there was a quote before that or not. But I always get a kick out of it because really that's the truth of it. Some days we are the windshield and some days we are the bug. You know,
yep.
And we just kind of take you from there, man. Take
bright,
you from there.
Bright and clean and squished.
Absolutely. Well, look, it was a great night of poetry and a great prompt, it seems. Everybody seemed to enjoy it, Rex, and you definitely
it was lots of fun.
Yeah, exactly. It keeps it interesting when you're all over the place with it sometimes.
Are you kidding? With the amount of different voices we had going tonight, that was definitely interesting all the way around because there were some thoughts in here I wouldn't have considered hitting on what Orange did was with the candle as the singular point of reference, but it worked well.
Yeah. That was another great piece. Lots of good stuff tonight. And it's funny when you see something like that where you give one prompt and you watch how many different directions it can take people. You know, it's kind of like when you play pass it down the lane and everybody like kind of has your own variation on what was said to them, you know.
Well, yeah, because that and with a song, I note, hey, take a line, take a stanza, mix and match. You don't have to use the whole thing; just take what appeals.
Absolutely, and because there was a lot of things going on in the song itself to take you different places. I mean, with everything from Romeo and Juliet to God knows what. God, I'd have to like stop and think for a few minutes. But we were everywhere. We really were. You know, I mean, we had some Macbeth. We had
that. I enjoyed that piece because that had me thinking of All the World's a Stage and We Are mere Players upon that stage. So it gives another a different kind of a thought to the piece itself, which was nicely done.
Right. No, it was. It was very good. Very good stuff tonight. It was an intriguing night. You definitely couldn't get bored because there was no two pieces that kind of rode the same rails, you know, throughout. So it was good. You know, everything was just a little different, a little bit of a different angle. And, you know, it was really, you know, I enjoyed it very much. So on that note, I'm going to let you go for the night. And, I can get off this line and tell everybody that they can get their, they can go listen to the archives anytime soon. And
Absolutely.
Absolutely.